Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well played to everyone involved.
Let's set it down to Radio Row in South Miami Beach, Florida. Lawrence Holmes is getting set to go, and I think after sort of an attenuated, uncomfortable show down there for everybody yesterday with so many football people having to talk about Kobe Bryant because that was the news of the day, things might get back to a little bit of normalcy, I would imagine. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, man. Yeah, we're planning on kind of doing some of the things that we wanted to do on the show yesterday, especially going back over what was a fun Sox fest and going back over the Rick Hahn interview that I'm sure that there were some people, Sox fans, that they missed. But we are still going to cover what's up with Kobe and people doing all of their tributes over the last few days. J.A. Adonde is going to join me at 12:40.
Oh, good dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, great guy. And the great thing about having J.A. is that I can talk to him about some of the journalistic choices that were made since he teaches journalism at the Medill School.
Yeah, and what happened to the Washington Post with, you know, Marty Baron suspending somebody just because there was an actual news story that showed up in somebody's Twitter timeline?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I thought that was a very fast and harmful reaction.
A spaz move.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they felt like they needed to do it. So J.A. and I will talk about that. I'm really looking forward to talking with Patrick Mooney, too, and trying to figure out, and I heard you guys doing it a little bit, exactly what are the Cubs doing?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. It's tough to find out, isn't it? I mean, I know they signed Jeremy Jeffress to a one-year deal just a few minutes ago, and that's great. That's a bullpen arm that you can prey on a little bit, but it just feels to me like waiting is the only thing they've got left right now, given Chris Bryant's situation. And I don't even know how happy Cubs fans will be once if Chris Bryant's grievance comes back into ruling for the Cubs. If it turns out they got 2 years of him left, how happy does that really make Cubs fans given the last 4 months?
Yeah, and I feel that they have a roster that you're – if you have any designs on being in the playoffs this year, then you're kind of just hoping. You're back to hoping again as a franchise that the guys that are really good on your roster, and Bryant is one of those, overperforms this year, that you somehow get an overperformance from him and Rizzo and you Contreras, like those guys, and Javi, all those guys have to overperform to make up for some of the things that you don't have. And now you have a missing piece that was very important to your offense in the second half of the season last year that ends up on the Reds. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think I saw Reds payroll is now $143 million this season.
So only.
They're going for it. And adding Castellanos, and I love his deal for him, that he can opt out after a year. Like, if you guys are on some BS, I'm going to leave here.
Yeah.
I think it works out. I think it's a good deal for both sides.
You know, as you were mentioning some of the names, because I kind of feel like the Cubs right now are a break right team. You know, things go well, they've got a shot. But if any one little thing kind of crumbles, you're going to have some big issues. Wilson Contreras has never played over 140 games in his big league career. He played 105 last season. And if you're hoping on the continued breakout of a young catcher, age 28, you also have to hope that he plays somewhere toward 140 games, don't you?
Yes, but they love Caratini too. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a... I guess that you're hoping that he plays as many games as possible.
Right.
But how do you keep him healthy? Do you keep him healthy by having him play right field?
No, I think that as much as I wanted to see some of that last year, given the situation of the outfield before you mentioned the Nick Castellanos trade, that turned out to not be a great idea.
But we all know what's going to happen to him if he continues to catch.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a matter of time. And the more games you put on those hamstrings and knees, the less athletic your athletic player is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know the timetable on Miguel Amaya either, because they do feel strongly about
years.
Him. Full 3 years?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's 20.
Okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't hit. I mean, Miguel Amaya is a terrific defensive catcher and probably one of the top three catchers in the minor leagues.
But by the time
he's
here, we're probably going to have an automated strike zone that's going to obviate framing and some receiving skill.
Some of it.
So that makes a no-hit catcher not worth as much. It makes somebody like Contreras worth a whole lot more when you're not as concerned about the framing runs.
Yeah, and can they pull it off? Like, what's fair to expect from the guys that are in the middle of that lineup, and how much can they carry? Like, and you're probably asking for John Lester to overperform this year. That's what they're stuck with. They're a team that's pretty good. Like, even on paper, with some of their names, you're talking about a team that'll probably win like they did last year, 84 games, around there.
If everything breaks right the way it is now, Lawrence, like, if I'm trying to think like Pakoda, which is not easy to do, to get myself sort of programmed into that algorithm, but I know that Pakoda devalues old pitching, that always tries to factor in deterioration in old pitching. My guess is, unless they rejigger it a little bit in ways that I don't know, and they do tweak it every year, I think the Pakoda number for the Cubs is going to be 77.
So take two away from last year's initial projection.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, and that's even with your full career sort of Kimbrel bounce back. But looking at what they had to have, what that Castellanos half season meant to them, meant to their run production, and look at what everybody else did, I'm not feeling it. I think, of course, they could be an 84-win team, but that's with a lot of things on the high side of the outcome spectrum.
Yeah, I think that they're probably about that good right now. And for me, it's for them to be a legitimate contender in the division, everything has to go right. Like, I'm going to give credit to Baez and Bryant and Contreras staying at or exceed some of their numbers, because you would think that Baez is still kind of an ascending player. And if Bryant is healthy, if Bryant gives you 150 games in the season, that you would feel very good about your chances.
But he's a five-win player. If that's
right. Yeah. The pitching is terrifying. And you haven't gotten what you've needed out of Quintana. He was supposed to be the type of guy that was going to bridge to the next time your rotation turns over, and he hasn't been that. So even though he's still probably a value for what they're going to have to pay him, it hasn't had the impact that anyone over there would want.
I guess well said. And that's the value versus impact. And that may be in the spread between the measurables and what's not necessarily measurable, but that's the Cubs have been living there.
So last night I went to Media Day. Opening night is what they call it now. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So have they not tamed that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of crazy last night. Like, I think there was someone from TV Azteca who was wearing like a sailor suit.
Well, sure, you're gonna have
and
that.
She was doing like stuff, but the fan aspect of it has become a bigger portion. So now, when you have players on the outside, they're also now being hounded for autographs and stuff. While this process that's supposed to be like or at least initially was thought of that it would be a way for members of the team that you don't ordinarily get to talk to, you get to talk to. Like, it's full-blown, like, they're out there doing it. So another thing that I thought was interesting, and I feel really old, like I'm already the back in my day guy around here when I'm toting around the NBC Sports Chicago crew, that they now took it away from the field. It used to be you would go to the site of the Super Bowl, and that's where you'd have – so last night the Chiefs went first, and then the 49ers were after that. So what you'd have is the Chiefs would come out. There'd be like 12 to 14 designated areas for big stars. So Patrick Mahomes, for example, Travis Kelce. Like, they have like their own place, Andy Reid. And then everyone else was just kind of walking around. You go find a guy. Maybe a guy's in the stands. You go talk with him. Now they do it at Marlins Park. This one they've done at Marlins Park. So it's not just that you're not at a football stadium. You're now at a baseball stadium that has to be reconfigured. They brought in stands so that the fans could be closer because of where they had to assemble everything. It is a bizarre experience, to say the least.
Yeah, is it true that Derek Jeter was asked for $10 on the way into Marlins Park?
You got to give him $10.
Like everybody had to give Jeter.
Everyone's got to ante up, and he's got the HOF to prove it.
But, you know, that was always my favorite part of media days. After you got done what you had to get done, and then you could just kind of go around
drift.
And see who's where and drift and say, oh, it's that guy. We can talk to that guy. You know, there was...
Right. Jimmy Ward played for NIU. You can talk to a Jimmy Ward if you want to and talk to him about his days as a Husky.
Yeah, in 96, I want to say, was that when Belichick was there, but he wasn't head coach. And I think that was the Super Bowl where I had... There's nobody around him. And he was just standing by himself. It was like the defensive backs coach or something like that. And we had this really interesting conversation because there was just nobody standing anywhere near him.
Well, I had the conversation in 07. I looked up and Tom Moore was by himself. And I go, oh, well, the guy who does the offense for the Colts,
yep.
I'll go talk to him. And I found out a lot that got me ready for the game. I don't think the days of that are kind of gone. I did get, just based on my relationship with him, I got Tobe for like 10 minutes. Like, it was just me and him. And that was fantastic, like, talking to him. And I enjoyed the juxtaposition of the last two times that these guys were in a Super Bowl, Robbie Gould and Dave Tobe, they were on the same side. Now they're facing each other.
Mm.
And the game is back in Miami. Like, that was kind of interesting. But it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And it ends up kind of doing some of the stuff that you end up doing on Radio Row where media is interviewing media. Because there isn't a ton of great access.
No, but then you always get the former quarterbacks working for Big Pharma in some capacity. So there's always going to be some guy
with pitching something.
Yeah, his enlarged prostate and another guy with his gastroesophageal reflux. And
what's crazy is, Dan, I haven't seen a lot of that so far. Now, it's only Tuesday. Wednesday is when things kind of start going haywire on Radio Row. But I haven't really seen that yet. I've been looking for it. Now, there have been people that they pitch you. Like, that's the interesting thing for me. And
yeah, but there's a poison pill and all those things. I remember that when they say, hey, you want to talk to Goldberg? I'm like, yeah, we'd love to have Goldberg. Well, at first you have to talk to Furman Bischer. And no.
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 How about no?
How about no for all of it then?
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX, HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Lawrence, I have to ask you, this just popped up on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen this or whether...
Is Jared Jeffress? Yes, I've seen that.
No, not Jared Jeffress. This is a real story. Have you seen Deion Sanders down there?
Yeah, he just walked past like literally 5 minutes ago.
Apparently, he just told the Dan Patrick Show he's going to be a head coach in college football next year and has had a second interview at a school that is not FSU.
Really?
That's what's popping.
Yeah, now that I look where I'm at, I'm right by the Dan Patrick set. So that must be where he was.
Wow. Interesting.
That is kind of stunning to me.
And we get the news early in the show, Bob Nightingale says that Dusty Baker is going to be the Astros manager.
Yeah, but then there's been some pushback on that.
There has been some.
That's not a done deal, and Dusty doesn't have the gig just yet.
But doesn't Nightingale have the direct line to Dusty? I mean, they're buds.
He does. He does, and he's been right about a bunch of stuff. So I would imagine that he's well sourced on this one, but maybe it's one of those things of it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
So if that happens during the show and it becomes a little bit more official, or maybe we get a couple more people confirming Nightingale's tip, then we'll talk about that. I mean, I guess if you're a team that's close, that's that's a good option, right?
Yeah, like I think you do a lot worse than Dusty Baker. And I think I would guess that if Jim Crane, the Astros owner, has decided to hire Dusty, if the reports are true, then he's thinking he wants someone in there that has his own, as Dan put it, has his own gravity, that has something that pulls things away from the conversation and helps to reset some things. I don't think he's your long-term guy.
No.
He's your get me out of this.
Yeah. It ain't stinking yet.
No.
Have fun down there, Lawrence.
All right, boys. Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.